Good evening. First off, I'd like to thank the elders tonight for giving me this opportunity to preach God's Word. I'm not sure if Maurice thanks himself or what, how that affects, but I'm thankful for this opportunity nevertheless. If you would, turn your Bibles to James, the fourth chapter. I appreciate those words that Maurice gave us tonight about growth, about knowing God. What I want to talk to you tonight is about something that may hinder that growth, something that may hinder us from knowing God, and that is worldliness. If you would, follow along with me in James chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Wordy wars and fights come from among you. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? We have a picture here of some Christians that were partaking in worldliness. And we have a separation between God and the world. Look with me in verse 4. It says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Enmity is hatred. God hates the friendship of the world. In verse 5, it says, friend of the world is an enemy of God. Here's another separation. In 1 John 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And in Matthew 6:24, we are told that you cannot serve God and mammon. So we have this separation. We have the world on one side, and we have God on the other. If we love the world, God hates this. If we love the world, it is an enemy to God. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. You cannot serve God and mammon. So how do we sanctify ourselves from the world? Let's continue reading in verse 6. But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. In verse 6, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humility is the key to overcoming worldliness. It says to submit to God in verse 7. And submit is the idea of being in subject to be obedient to. As it says in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, it is not I that lives, but Christ who liveth in me. Become subject to God, to submit to God. Continues on to say, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To resist is to oppose something, to oppose someone. And the devil is the source of that temptation. The devil is the source of the temptation that brings us toward worldliness. I often ask the question to myself, what am I resisting? Am I resisting the devil, or am I resisting the people around me? Do I say that I'm not going to use bad language when I'm around my friends because I'm afraid of what they might think? Or do I not use bad language because I know it's an abomination to God? Do I abstain from immoral behavior or worldly behavior because My wife, that it irritates my wife and she doesn't like that? Am I resisting my wife? Am I resisting my parents? Am I resisting my friends? Or am I resisting the devil? Who am I resisting? If I'm resisting my friends, when the friends leave, that temptation is still there. Same thing with your spouse. Now, when someone goes out of town, is that temptation going to come back? God says if we resist the devil, he will flee from you. It's a very powerful message. It says to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Here again we see this separation of God and the world. And it's an action. As we draw to God, it's an action on our part. But as we notice above that, we have to submit to God first and resist the devil. Imagine, if you will, if you're walking along a path and you have some luggage, you have some bags in your hand, and the bags are worldliness. And you're coming across, and there's a rope. And you look up, and there's God, and there's the rope. The only way you can get a hold of the rope is to let go of the world. You have to come to the realization that the only thing that I need is God. I don't need anything here. I can't climb the rope with bags in my hand. As we pull on the rope toward God, God will pull toward us. But He can't pull if we hold on to the things of the world. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Cleansing of your hands is the idea of repentance. Think, if you will, as you maybe be outside working in the yard, or maybe you're working on your car. You work until you get the job finished. You look at your hands, and they're just filthy. You don't want to touch anything, or then something else is going to get dirty. Well, that's the way God views sin to us. It's filthiness to Him. He can't stand it. He hates it. Well, when we're finished working in the yard, we'll go back in the house and we'll clean up. Wash your hands. Well, when you get finished cleaning your hands, you don't go back outside and work anymore, because you're finished with that. You don't want any more of that. And that's the idea of repentance that we must have. When we cleanse our hands, we must have that idea that I'm not going to do that anymore. Repentance. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. To be double-minded is someone that's, has two minds. God says this isn't allowed. He has a mind of the world, but He also wants to have a mind of God. You can't have both. We've noticed in the passages before that there's this separation between God and the world. You can't have both. To purify your hearts. Purification is the removal of impurities. It is not the addition of a pure substance. Let's say you have some water and there's some impurities floating around in the water. You don't get rid of the impurities by adding more water. Impurities are still there. It's still an impure substance. Sometimes we do that as Christians. We won't let go of the world, but we'll try to add more substance. Maybe I'll try to teach a class, or maybe I'll try to call more people. And these things are good, but you still have impurities. And the way to get rid of impurities is, one, is filtration. You'd pour that water through a filter, the water would go through, and the uncleanness would stay in the filter. So how do we remove those impurities? We can filter those impurities with God's Word. We use God's words to understand what we have to let go of in the world. Let that filter our life, God's Word. Let's continue reading in verse 9. It says to lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. This isn't to say that the life of a Christian is sad. This is the idea of your repentance. This is your state of your repentance. How sorrowful you are for knowing that you have committed these sins toward God. You are showing remorse for sinning against God through repentance. You are replacing the laughter and temporal joy of worldly pleasures with sorrow that comes for asking for forgiveness. It says to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. As we've went through repentance, we're sorrowful. And we've realized that the only thing that we need in life is God. Well, how does God lift us up? He lifts us up with the joy of being reconciled to Him, of knowing that we have a hope of salvation. It's the joy of knowing that we can spend eternal life with Him. That is the joy that we have as being a Christian. So how can we separate the world from our lives? As we've read, you must submit to God. We must resist the devil. You must draw near to God, leaving the world behind. You must cleanse your hands. You must repent and say that I'm not going to participate in those worldly pleasures anymore. You must purify your hearts. Remove those impurities. Remove those evil thoughts from your mind. And ask for God's forgiveness. This is how we, as Christians, can live in the world and be separate from the world. If you're not a Christian, then you are of the world. And we've already noted that there's a separation between the world and God. If you're part of the world, you can't be part of God. If you're part of the world, you're an enemy to God. And who wants to be an enemy to God? No one. So the question comes, how do I become a Christian? You must first hear God's word and believe in God's word. You must repent of your sins and confess that Christ is the Son of God. You must be baptized into Christ, Romans 6:3, and walk in the light. Come to the conclusion that God is all that I need. My life, I will live as God wants me to. I will use God's word to filter out those impurities of my life, to know what I'm supposed to be doing. Is this a good act or is this not? Is this an act of the world or is this an act that my Father will be happy with? Maybe we're here tonight and we are a Christian and we've leaned away from God. We've stepped away from God toward the world. Maybe you would like to come back to God. You'd like to draw back to God and let Him come back to you. If you're subject to the invitation, I ask you please come now as we stand and sing.